Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate
Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 10. Bhagavatam is the answer to all questions. Text number, I'll read text 1 and 2, and number 3 we shall repeat responsively.
Shishukaruvacha trasago vishagascha stanam poshanam uttayaha manvantadeshana sakkatha nirop. Nirodho Mukti Rashtrayaha.
Sri Sukadeva Goswami said, in Srimad Bhagavatam, there are 10 divisions of statements regarding the following: the creation of the universe, sub-creation, planetary systems, protection by the Lord, the creative impetus, the change of manus, the science of God, returning home back to Godhead, liberation, and the summum bonum. Text number 2.
Dashamasya vishuddhyattam navanam ihalak lakshanam vanayanti mahatmana srutenatena chanjasa.
To isolate the transcendence of the summum bonum, the symptoms of the rest are described sometimes by Vedic inference, sometimes by direct explanation, and sometimes by summary explanations given by the great sages. Text 3.
Bhuta matendriya dhiyam.
Bhuta matendriya dhiyam.
Janma sarga hudharita.
Janma sarga hudharita.
Brahmano guna vaishamyat.
Brahmano guna vaishamyat.
Visarga porusha smritaha.
Visarga porusha smritaha.
Bhuta matendriya.
Bhuta.
Bhuta.
The five gross elements.
The five gross elements.
The sky, etc.
Matra. Matra.
Objects perceived by the senses.
Objects perceived by the senses.
Indriya.
Indriya.
The senses.
The senses.
Dhyam.
Dhyam.
Of the mind.
Of the mind.
Janma.
Janma.
Creation.
Creation.
Sargaha.
Sargaha.
Manifestation.
Manifestation.
Udharitaha,
Udharitaha
is called the creation.
Is called the creation.
Brahmanaha,
Brahmanaha
of Brahma.
Of Brahma.
The first Purusha.
First Purusha.
Gunavaishamyat.
Gunavaishamyat.
By interactions of the three modes of nature.
By interaction of the three modes of nature.
Visarga.
Visarga.
Recreation.
Recreation.
Purushaha,
Purushaha,
resultant activities,
resultant activities.
Smritaha,
Smritaha,
it is so known.
It is so known.
Translation: the elementary creation of 16 items of matter, namely the five elements, fire, water, land, air and sky, sound, form, taste, smell, touch, and the eyes, ears, nose, tongue and skin, and the mind, is known as sarga, whereas subsequent resultant interaction of the modes of material nature is called visarga. Purport. In order to explain the 10 divisional symptoms of Srimad Bhagavatam, there are 7 continuous verses. The first of these under reference pertains to the 16 elementary manifestations of earth, water, etc., with material ego composed of material intelligence and mind. The subsequent creation is a result of the reactions of the above-mentioned 16 energies of the first Purusha, the Mahavishnu, incarnation of Govinda, as later explained by Brahma, in his treatise Brahma Samhita 5.47 as follows: Yakarana navajale bhajati smayoga nidram ananta jagaranda saromakupaha adara shaktim avalambya param sumurtim govindamari purusham tamaham bhajami. The first Purusha incarnation of Govinda, Lord Krishna, known as Mahavishnu, goes into a yoga nidra mystic sleep. And the innumerable universes are situated in potency in each and every hair hole of his transcendental body. As mentioned in the previous verse, Shrutena, or with reference to the Vedic conclusions, the creation is made possible from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, directly by manifestation of his particular energies. Without such a Vedic reference, the creation appears to be a product of material nature. This conclusion comes from a poor fund of knowledge. From Vedic reference, it is concluded that the origin of all energies, namely internal, external, and marginal, is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And as explained herein before, the illusory conclusion is that creation is made by the inert material nature. The Vedic conclusion is transcendental light, whereas the non-Vedic conclusion is material darkness. The internal potency of the Supreme Lord is identical with the Supreme Lord, and the external potency is enlivened in contact with the internal potency. The parts and parcels of the internal potency which react in contact with the external potency are called the marginal potency or the living entities. Thus, the original creation is directly from the Supreme Personality of Godhead or Param Brahman, and the secondary creation, as a reactionary result of the original ingredients, is made by Brahma. Thus, the activities of the whole universe are started. Om Agyanatim Randasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manubhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupakaramayam Dadati Svaparantikam Nama Srishtam Unamapi Sachiputra Matra Surupam Rupam Tasya Grajam Hurupurim Maturingo Stavritim Radha Kundagirivaram Horarika Madhava Hasam Praptoya Sapatita Kripaya Sri Gurum Tam Natosmi. Bhuta matendriya diyam janma sarga hudharita brahmano guna vaishamya visarga purusha smritaha. The elementary creation of 16 items of matter, namely the 5 elements, fire, water, land, air and sky, sound, form, taste, smell, touch and the eyes, ears, nose, tongue, skin and mind, is known as sarga, whereas subsequent resultant interaction of the modes of material nature is called visarga. In the beginning of the Srimad Bhagavatam, the sages in Naimisharanya approach Suta Goswami or appeal to Suta Goswami, placed a number of questions before the elder learned Vedantist in the assembly. Had Shonaka Rishi, on behalf of the sages, placed 6 questions before Suta Goswami, which were to become the impetus or the catalyst for the presentation of the 18,000 verses. The 18,000 verses are a response to the inquiry, to the questions placed by the sages. The sages are defined by this mentality of inquiring by the mentality of aspiring for enlightenment, but not for their own benefit, for the benefit of others. This is the mark of a sadhu, Prabhupada says. A sadhu is concerned for the welfare of the conditioned living entities. And the conditioned living entities have been provided an opportunity to become free from their conditioned nature through responses, through the response to the questions of the sages in Naimisharanya, which is Srimad Bhagavatam. The beautiful narration and pastimes of the glories and activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and his devotees. So these six questions that are asked here, they cover these 10 subject matters of sarga and visarga, of the creation and the recreation of the universe. And the planetary systems are detailed. He's asking questions. The reason why the planetary systems are included in the Srimad Bhagavatam, or the reason why they're presented in such detail in the fifth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, is because the sages specifically are asking about the creation of this universe. What is it about this universe? The creation of the universe is a lila of God. And particularly this original creation that Prabhupada's referring to here in this commentary, the verse of the Brahma Samhita, Yakara Nana Valajev, Vajadesma Yoga, that this Govinda, he appears in his first plenary expansion to perform creation, sarga, to do this lila of creating the universe for the benefit of the conditioned souls. The universes that are created by this Mahavishnu, who has this potency, provides the original elements, probably the 16 elements, elementary manifestation of the earth, water, fire, air, and ether, and the objects of the senses, and the eyes, ears, nose, tongue, skin, and mind. These are the original 16 elements that are the ingredients for the creation of this. In the beginning, the sages, I asked that, Atakya hi hare dimam avatara katha subha lila vitaratha svayam ishvarasyatma mayaya. That this lila of the avatars, please describe this to us in detail. And in Prabhupada's commentary, he refers to this lila. They ask three questions about lila, about Krishna lila. But he says specifically this lila that the sages ask for in this verse is the lila of the creation, maintenance, and destruction of the universe. So the Mahavishnu, of the lila of the Lord's sarga and visharga. And then they ask for Sutta Janasi Badrante Bhagavan Satatam Hari, that you know very well, the sages say, you know very well why Krishna took birth in the womb of Devaki, and why there was an exchange with Mother Yashoda, and how Krishna performed his Boma Lila. You know this very well. So please explain that to us too. We're anxious to hear of Krishna Lila, Kritavan Kilakamani, Sahara Mena Keshava. What did Balaram and Krishna do here in this material world? When this material world was created, they came here just before the advent of Kali Yuga. What happened then when they performed their Lila here? Ati Matyani Bhagavan Guruka Patamanashaha. Performing their activities, seemingly to be human beings in the human form, but actually to be superhuman. Ati Matyani Bhagavan. So what did this superhuman personality do in this material world when he came here? You know the answer to that, so please tell us that. And tell us of the multi-incarnations of the Lord, the other incarnations of the Lord, the incarnations of the Lord in his as a boar incarnation, or as Lord Nrsingadev, or as Matsya Avatar, or as Parashuram. Tell us about these incarnations. And so the Bhagavatam will give details, particularly of these particular Lila avatars, as well as the Purusha avatars. So there are three questions that are directed specifically about the avatar of the Lord, the Lord appearing in this material world to perform different pastimes of creation, maintenance, and destruction, of his personal interactions in the intimate rasa with the Brajabasis in Vrindavan and with the demons in Vrindavan and in Dwarka and Mathura, and of the different lila avatars. And the other three questions are around the essence of the scriptures. Buddhini, Buddhika, Mani, Saha. That he says, you know that there's very many different divisions of Vedic literatures. So many Vedas, and one cannot study the Vedic literatures in one lifetime. But you know from experience, from your study of the scriptures, can you extract for us the essence, the creme de la creme? What is that essence of the scriptures, of the Vedic literatures, that will help the conditioned souls to become free from their entanglement and misery in the material world? Please give that to us, so that we can help others, if you can share that with us. The essence. Take to the essence of the Vedic instructions. And they ask for the essence, for what is the essential teaching of the Vedas, and what is the most beneficial thing? What is the thing that will give the most benefit to the residents of Kali Yuga? How will they be benefited the most? So give us the essence and tell us what is the best thing that we can do in Kali Yuga to achieve peace and prosperity. Because although the material world is labeled as Dukkhalayam, that's the alayam of dukkha, or misery, the place of suffering, there is relief in the material world. There is some Krishna is not a very, you know, a torturing, mean, and macabre type of a God who wants us to suffer in eternal damnation. But he wants us to realize our identity and to become free from our conditioned nature and to become really happy and satisfied so that we can engage in transcendental loving service. That's the mission. As Anuruddha Prabhu was mentioning yesterday, that Srimad Bhagavatam is the manual for this, how to use this material world. It's the instruction manual. It's a blueprint for what to do here in the material world. We came to this material world, and it's naturally a place of darkness. Tamasi ma, jyoti gama. The Vedas say that we should leave this darkness and go into the light. And Bhagavatam is light. It's a purana ko tu noritaha. This Srimad Bhagavatam, Prabhupada says, and the Bhagavad Gita, they give light to the residents of Kali Yuga, kalo nashta drisham esha. To the residents of Kali Yuga who lost their vision, who are completely bewildered by darkness, Srimad Bhagavatam is the torchbearer. Srimad Bhagavatam is the lighthouse. Around the coastline, particularly around Australia and these islands and New Zealand, you have many lighthouses, or we used to have many lighthouses before the days of GPSs and different systems of navigation. A lighthouse would warn the sailors and the captain of the ship that they were coming into rocky territory. They were coming close to land, and there was going to be... No problem. They were going to be coming close to dangerous waters, so they would be on guard. In Christchurch in New Zealand, they have a very sort of... It's one of the southernmost points for navigating oceans before you get out. And there they have this system where, for navigation in the old days, time was very important to establish where you were on a compass, in the longitude and latitude. You have to know exactly the time. And if you were 2 or 3 minutes out, you could be a couple of hundred miles out. So you have to keep a very accurate understanding of time in order to locate your ship in the waters in the ocean, because there's no land, there's no mark, there's no landmark to look at. So time was very important. So they have this tower just outside of the Christchurch city, and it was a place where, I think it was destroyed in the earthquake a few years ago, but we saw it before the earthquake. It was a place where in the old days, the ships used to come close to the shore, and they would take their, at 12 noon, they would get their exact bearing. They would take 12 noon from this particular place, from this clock tower or time tower, whatever it was, and then they would keep traveling. So in different parts of the world, they would have these special places where ships could realign their timings so that they could get their bearings, their compass, they could understand where they were exactly in navigation. That was a big revolution in those days before other devices of identifying where we are through satellite and different advanced forms of technology. So lightness and darkness is the theme, Prabhupada's theme here in this purport. Prabhupada says that the Vedic conclusion is transcendental light. Material conclusion, the non-Vedic conclusion, is material darkness. And this is a recurring theme in the in all scriptures, but particularly in Bhagavatam and in the Bhagavad Gita. We hear this time and time again, this metaphor of light and darkness, that Krishna, out of his compassion for the conditioned soul, he destroys the darkness of ignorance with the light of knowledge. And we hear that Krishna, in the he can burn to ashes all of the sinful reactions of the conditioned soul, which will enable them to see, which will enable bring them into the light of Krishna consciousness, or the light of the Vedic conclusion. And the Vedic conclusion is Aham Brahmasmi, that I'm a spirit soul. But not just Aham Brahmasmi, that I'm a Jivara Surupahoya Nitya Krishna Das, that I'm an eternal servant of Krishna. And that is the ultimate light of the Veda. The light of the Veda is to understand that we are Krishna's servant, and that we've been Krishna's servant, and we messed up due to attachment, due to some kind of a faulty mentality. We became attached to the material world. We became attached to the interactions with the material energy. And that attachment to interactions with the material energy causes us to maintain our conditioned nature. And the Vedas are teaching to become free from that, transform, to transformation. In the third chapter of this canto, we have a very beautiful description of how to transform from darkness to light. The chapter entitled Pure Devotional Service, Change of Heart. Change of heart means from, we changed our heart from darkness to light. We enlightened the heart. Gajendra offers his prayer to Krishna when he appears to him in the form of Vishnu, and he says that Krishna is the Atma Pradipa, that he gave light to his Atma. Because when the conditioned soul turns away from the material energy and turns toward Krishna, the super soul, he becomes enlightened. That's what enlightenment means, to see God, to see Krishna, to see everything in relationship with Krishna. That is enlightenment. The enlightened soul sees everything as the sun lights up everything in the daytime. So we see things. The devotees who engage in this process of transformation of going from dark to light through a process. It's not something that just happens automatically. It's not something that happens just because we put on a dhoti or a sari or we go to Mangalati or we read Bhagavatam, but we have to apply ourselves. These things are processes, important processes for transformation. But the ultimate transformation comes from application, from dedication to, from complete commitment. Dṛḍha vrataha means determination. Sometimes we might not hit the mark. Sometimes we might fall a long way short of the bar. Sometimes our consciousness may not be quite where we needed to be or where we wanted to be, where we're aspiring to be. But as devotees, We support each other in Sangha. Through this association of the Vaishnavas, we help to realign ourselves and we help to inspire each other to come to the light and to get out of the darkness of ignorance, of the darkness of our attachments, the darkness of our conditioned mind, the darkness of our imperfect senses, the darkness of our bewildered intelligence, and come to the light of the Paripashyatu Darshanam, to the light of the proper perspective of the devotee with knowledge and detachment, as Kapiladeva explains to Devahuti in third canto. So this transformation is something, this entering into the lightness is something that's achievable through the vehicle of the material body, particularly the human form of life. In the human form of life, Krishna has given us the facility through these sound, form, taste, smell and touch, through the eyes, the ears, nose, tongue and skin and the mind. This is a facility that's been afforded to the conditioned soul for enlightenment. In the human form of life, in Ishapanasat, Prabhupada says, human form of life offers the ultimate capacity, the ultimate vehicle to realize our full capacity as a jiva in human form. In the bird form, in the crocodile form, in the tree form, in the plant form, in cockroach form, less potential to realize our full capacity as a jiva, that full jiva capacity, whatever, 50%, not 50, but whatever the percentage of that can be realized, up to 70% of consciousness in the human form. And in animal forms and non-moving forms, less and less capacity, less and less potential. Tadapi dhruvam a'atavam. Therefore, this human form of life, we should cultivate this process of bhakti from the beginning. Komarat acharet pragyo dhamam bhagavataniha. We should do this, we should engage and connect with this process right from the very, very beginning of life, so that we become conditioned to the light and not to the darkness. People who are conditioned to darkness, it's ya nisha sava bhutanam. In Gita, Krishna says, what is the nighttime for all the living entities? It's daytime for the devotees, daytime for the sages. And what is the night for the devotees is the day for the materialists. So it's what it is, it's night and day. We become attached to the daytime, we become attached to the light of the Bhagavad. We become attached to the processes of bhakti that transform us from darkness. And that attachment is, we receive that attachment by the mercy of the devotees, by the mercy of, ultimately the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, who gave us a process. And here in Melbourne, he explained to us that, or he encouraged us to take this process, to go into the light, Krishna Surya Maya Hoya Andhakar, to come out of darkness, to come in front of Gornitai. And when he installed Shishi Gornitai here in Melbourne in 1975, he addressed the devotees and he said, now Mahaprabhu has come here to your city, to Melbourne city. He's made this place auspicious. So take advantage. Take advantage of the fact that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has appeared in the city of Melbourne by Prabhupada's ultimate mercy. He brought Shishi Gornitai here and installed him here on the altar. Madhavisa Prabhu and Balaram Prabhu and Korma Prabhu and many, many devotees, and installed them with this intention to create this place free from anxiety. He said, this place will become Vaikuntha. That by their mercy, by the mercy of Shishi Gornitai and Radha Ballabha, Jagannath Balade Subhadra, the residents of Melbourne have the opportunity to become free from anxiety of the darkness of the material world. I was talking to a devotee yesterday, and you know, he's not a great sadhaka, and his maybe he doesn't look so much like a devotee. You know, like in India, we stay in India now, and The devotees have this concept, if you live in the temple, you're a devotee. They call them full-time devotees. You're a full-time devotee. And if you live outside the temple, you're a part-time devotee. So I became I'm an official part-time devotee of ISKCON. And it really sunk in the last time someone just convinced me that I was a part-time devotee, right? I was visiting a temple in Baroda, in Gujarat. And a devotee was trying to work out, who am I, you know, who's your guru, who's this, where do you fit into the whole scene here? And do you live in the temple or do you live not in the temple? And I said, no, I live in an apartment. Oh, you're a part-time devotee. An apartment devotee. Part-time devotee. So it's very strongly ingrained in the devotees' minds in India that you live in the mandir and you're a devotee. Because you put tilak and do mangalati. But devotee is more than living in temple. Much more than living in the temple. There's a lot of other living entities that live in the temple. They're not so elevated souls. There's much more to it than just sleeping in a temple. Sleeping here doesn't mean anything. But living in temple means that we practice living in the light, not living in the darkness. We become free from greed and anger. If you live in the temple, it means you don't have any anger, you don't have envy, you don't have hatred, you don't have any misgivings, you don't have any attachment. That's what living in the temple means. Yasyam vai sruyamanayam. Krishne Parama Purushe. In the 7th chapter of the first canto of Bhagavatam, it says this is what happens when you live in the temple. That Sokamo Baya Paha. Bhakti Rudpadite Pungsa. Bhakti sprouts in the heart because you live in the temple. When we live in the mandir, devotional service is spontaneous. It's the natural thing. It's what we do because we live in the temple. We naturally awaken, we're naturally in the light, in the limelight. Krishna's limelight, we're on the spotlight. Because that bhakti is active. Prabhupada defines bhakti as a transcendental dynamic nature of the soul. He doesn't define bhakti as sleeping in the temple. Because you sleep in the I've got a bed in the temple, I'm a devotee. Or the other one is in India. This taxi driver who took me to the airport on the way here in Mumbai, he asked me about life membership. He said, how did you become a member of ISKCON? I said, well, I joined in the Melbourne Temple and I lived there, blah, blah. I told him my life story. And he said, but how do you do it? You know, and I said, just do it. And he was trying to work out how to become a life member. He's thinking that I'm a life member. He says, you can stay anywhere, right? For 3 days in around the world, you can stay in any temple you like. And I said, no, I kind of like that. And then he was saying that he wants to become like me, like a life member. I said, oh, look, I didn't pay anything. I'm not a life member. He said, how can you not pay anything and stay in a temple? So there's a lot of misconceptions about temple and life membership and what it means to be a devotee. But devotee means soka moha baya paha. We become free from lamentation, free from illusion, and free from fear. The fear of the ultimate fear is a fear of attachment to the body. When we attach to the body, we become fearful. So bhakti makes us free from fear. To do bhakti, we understand our constitutional nature. We see Krishna's hand in everything. We understand that Krishna is the supreme controller, and I don't have to over endeavor for so many things. That we have to endeavor for one thing to understand our eternal relationship with God, with Krishna. And Prabhupada has given us a process to do that. The Acharya has given us a process to do that, to change from darkness to light. The process is there. It's the science of God. One of the 10 one of the 10 topics of the Bhagavatam or the Purana is to present the science of God. Interesting. The science of God. Isha Anukataha. To present the science of God. And this is a science of God. It's a scientific process. When we do bhakti, we become free from fear. When we do bhakti, we become free from illusion. We become free from lamentation. I wish I would have done that. I really missed out on this. Or anxiety. I'm not going to get all this happiness in this material world. We become fearful. We become anxious that, what if I miss out? What if I don't get all that happiness that everyone else is getting? And the Lamborghini showrooms and the Audis and the whatever. In Mumbai, this is a crazy city, right? They have 4 Lamborghini showrooms. The Lamborghinis are really fancy cars, like a crazy car. It's worth $1 million or something. They have 4 showrooms in the city. I don't know if there's one in Melbourne. There might be. But 4 is like, how you can go from 0 to 360 kilometers in about 6 seconds or something. How could you do that in the streets in Mumbai? You couldn't do that anywhere in India, I don't think. 0 to 360 kilometers. Pretty much stuck in second gear for most of the time. 40 k's is max. So how to do this, to get out of this darkness is simple. It's simple, but it requires some determination, some deep inner resolve that we're going to overcome this diversions, these distractions, these allurements, no matter what. We're going to overcome it. I think we better finish here. Ask if there are any questions. I can do it, or somebody can do a summary of what we tried to present. Maybe a question will give a summary of Prabhupada's theme in today's purport. That probably wasn't presented very well by me, but something. Prabhu? Jai Jagannath Prabhu. Good name, huh? Jai Jagannath. They're not symptoms of envy. They're transcendental. Thank you for asking that question because it brings up a point that I didn't cover. I knew the question would help me to get back on track. That I didn't cover. That is the relationship or the interactions between the residents of the Dham of the spiritual world. Are never conditioned, are never within the realm of our mundane restrictions of envy, of greed, of passion. They're completely free from the modes of material nature. And to come into the light means to become free from the modes of material nature. That's Prabhupada's, mostly his definition. To come into the light of Krishna consciousness means to become free from passion and ignorance, to come to a platform of goodness. And Krishna consciousness, so the transformation comes from the mode of goodness. So that cultivation, application of this theme in today's purport means cultivating mode of goodness, cleanliness and regulation and duty, dharma. Doing things not just because we want to do them, but because they're prescribed. And when we do prescribed duties, we become we develop the mode of goodness, sattva guna. But in the mode of passion, we do things because we're going to get a result. We do things because there's going to be some immediate response for my senses, for my mind, for my intellect, and therefore we become bound to the reaction of that. So, sattvat sanjayate jnanam. From jnana, from this mode of goodness comes knowledge, and the knowledge is I'm a spirit soul. Yeah, so the interactions in the spiritual world are completely free from any tinge of material modes of nature. And here in the temple, we live in the temple, it's a spiritual world, isn't it? Mahatmako is a spiritual world. It's a spiritual world. It's the Dham. We live in the Dham, and to live in the Dham, we have to... We're showing to people. Prabhupada said that's what happens. The residents of the temple, they show to the rest of the population how to live properly. That's their duty. The duty of the residents of the temple is to exemplify Krishna consciousness so that other people can see and they can practice what we're practicing. Take everything. I think Prabhupada said that here in Melbourne. Prabhuji? Yeah. It's simple that Sangha means relationship. So we and we have as devotees, we're interacting on a personal level, personal platform. We're interacting with the Supreme Personality of Godhead on a daily basis through the holy name, through the Bhagavatam, through the deity, through prasadam. So we're directly relating with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and we are personalities, and we want to support each other as personalities to serve the Supreme Personality. And when we help someone else to become Krishna conscious, when we help someone else to serve Krishna, we become more Krishna conscious. And therefore it becomes a transcendental, ecstatic type of synergy, where the combined efforts of all of the devotees in that Sangha become much more than the individual component efforts. So we can do much, much more as a group than we can do individually. Sankirtan means Sangha. It means we come together and do something collaboratively, cooperatively to serve the Lord and to serve the Vaishnavas and come into the light. So association means personal. We have personal feelings, we have emotions, we have likes and dislikes. Doesn't mean we're living in the temple and we don't have any feelings anymore. We're living in the temple, we're supposed to have refined feelings. Living in the temple means that we understand our emotions. Living in the temple means that we can refine our interactions with others because we understand the ultimate source and the origin of our emotions, of our feelings. And where to repose them, where to put them at Krishna's lotus feet.
You do so much preaching all over the world.
I don't do much. You do much more preaching than me.
What is Krishna consciousness?
What is Krishna consciousness? I guess one thing, we were catching a tram the other day here in South Melbourne, and just here in Albert Park, and this girl, lady, she was dressed like she's going to work. You know, she has high heel shoes, and she's all black, in black clothing, and just looks like she's going to be down in Bourke Street, you know, in 25 minutes she'll be in the city. And going to some office like this, she looks pretty together. And then she was approaching the door of the tram, and she was coming from here and I was coming from there, and then I caught her eye and she looked at me and it looks like she was going to say hello. So I said hello to her. I said hi, like this in a real mundane way, you know. And then she said to me, Hare Krishna. I said, okay, Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Mataji. She was like a real kind of corporate type of person. But so I guess she's a devotee and I was a non-devotee in my thinking. And yeah, you can't tell. Externally, we can't tell Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness is an internal cultivation of the soul. And by putting dhotis on and saris and shaving up and putting nice tilak and bindis and things, doesn't mean we're devotees. Actors can do that too. And they do that. You can be a Bollywood actor and put on a dhoti and shave your head. But it doesn't mean there's any change of heart. So devotee means that the heart becomes softened. In the Bhagavatam here, it says in the second canto, it says, netre jalam gaturuheshu harsham, that if the tears don't come from the eyes when you chant the holy name of the Lord, then your heart is like concrete in a steel frame, Prabhupada said in the purport. But devotee means that the heart becomes softened by practice of bhakti. And you can see that when devotees become purified, when the senses become purified, when we become less interested in our own selfish sense gratification and to help other people or to give Krishna consciousness, that is a symptom. Prabhupada explains many times that's the symptom of Krishna consciousness, is the a characteristic of one who is Krishna conscious is that they want to give Krishna to others, become free from the mentality of miserly mentality, and become really mercifully beneficent for others. Helping others, knowing how to help others. I think Krishna consciousness means know how to help somebody. So, first aid. First aid is to give them some support, give the conditioned soul some, give them a bridge so that they can make the step. Because it's not easy to leave the material world. To leave darkness is difficult. You know, the Plato analogy of the cave analogy in the Republic, in Plato. There's all these people bound in this cave and they can see shadows on the wall in the cave that's produced by the sun. That the light, the external light force is casting shadows in the cave. And that's their reality. All they can see is these shadows in the cave. And then some people get free from the bondage in this cave. And they go outside and they say, that's not a real thing. That shadow's just cast by the light from outside. And then nobody in the cave believes them. No, that's real. These forms are real. But the people who got into the light, got outside the cave, they could understand where the source of it came from. So it's difficult to leave the darkness sometimes. Very difficult. We have the darkness of our preconceived ideas, our conceptions, our prejudices, our bias. That's darkness. And we're attached to that because that's how we develop our personality. Our whole identity is based on darkness. Material identity means it's based on false premises. And so everything's wrong, practically. In the first canto of Bhagavatam, Prabhupada says that the human society is a polished animal civilization. Something very heavy. That because of attachment for sense gratification, we develop animalistic tendencies. But human life is different. Dhammena hina. Without Dharma, without this Krishna consciousness, without Bhagavatam, Bhagavat Dharma, we become animalistic. Anything else?
Grantaraja Shimar Bhagavatam Kije Shira Papa Kije Gopimanandi.
from the